Praise the Lord. That's good music. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God's blessed us with such good people. Amen. Love Jesus. Just give me somebody that loves Jesus with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind, and God will qualify. Amen. Well, praise the Lord Jesus forever. This is the day of the week we come to the house of God. We give this day to Him, to honor Him for the other six. He said that we should set aside a day. The New Testament said it didn't matter. Paul said you esteem one day higher than the other. And he was saying it doesn't matter what day, really, you set aside to worship the Lord or call it your Sabbath. We use the first day of the week was started by the early church. Christians started Sunday as their Sabbath. In the Old Testament, it was the last day of the week was Saturday. But it can be Saturday if that's what you want. It doesn't matter. You can't worship a day. You worship the Lord. He is the Sabbath. New Testament says He's the Sabbath. And I can worship Jesus and get the same benefits on Monday as I do on Sunday. He just told us to set aside one day to worship Him. He said, I'll tell you where to go, just like the Old Testament. He said, I'll tell you where to go. And He said, you'll meet there, and you'll bring your tithes there, and you'll honor Me. And He said, the rest of the day you rest and take care of yourself and just honor Me and bless Him. Bless me. Amen. So this is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's house. It's His house. Used to be the devil's house. Used to be a bar. I used to come here. And one time I came here, I heard a song on the radio the other day, made me think was Mel Street. You ever remember him? He sang Smoky Mountain Memory. I came here one night and saw him. So I got thinking about that. I said, my, isn't time to change? Still got some Smoky Mountain memories, but that's all they are is a memory. Thank God, reality of things have changed. And I'm so glad. Praise the Lord. So glad. Well, let's look in Revelation chapter 6. We're going to address the word pestilence today. We're hearing a lot on TV about pestilence, a virus that has everybody scared. Well, the Bible talked about these things, said they would come, said they'd be in the last days. And they're here. I remember, and I've heard this quite often at different times from preachers or Christians in church, when we come to the subject of healing, does the Lord still heal today? And I've heard them say, well, the Lord can heal if it's His will, but He doesn't heal everybody, and God doesn't heal today. And that's what they're saying, like He did when He walked the earth, because we have doctors in medicine today. And they do the healing, and God uses doctors in medicines to heal, and so He doesn't heal today like He did when He walked the earth. And I thought, well, if He doesn't, we're in bad shape. Doctors in medicines, thank God for them. They saved a lot of lives, but they've lost a lot. I'd say what they've saved and to what they've lost is probably not a good ratio. But the Bible says, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you want to know what he'll do today, see what he did yesterday. And if you want to know what he's going to do tomorrow, see what he did today or see what he did yesterday. He's the same. He changes not. If you can find it in the Bible where he did it, he'll still do it. He sets a precedent. If he did it once, he'll do it again. May not do it the same way, but he'll do it. And the Bible says, Acts 10:38, that Jesus went about doing good. James chapter 1 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, whom there is absolutely no chance of him ever changing. Well, everything that happens to us in life that's good, it's God. Everything that's bad, it's the devil. How do you know if it's the devil doing it or God doing it? It's very easy. Is it good or bad? Amen. Said, well, God put that on people. God's doing that to get people's attention. God made people sick so he might wake them up. Listen, sickness is bad. God, he can't be good and bad at the same time. He's either good or bad. The Bible said the Lord is full of compassion. His tender mercies are over all his works. If he's full of compassion, then he is compassionate. If he's good, then he's good. He is not good one day and bad the next day. He doesn't use bad to do good. Neither does he use good to do bad. He's good. Say, well, the Lord did that to wake them up that they might get saved. And I have seen people where tragedies hit their home, where somebody woke up and got saved. But you know they could have got saved without the tragedy? They didn't have to have a tragedy to get healed. They just happened to wake up. One story is a preacher said that this man's little daughter died. She was the joy of his life. He loved her with everything in him. And he had prayed that God would heal her. And he wasn't a Christian. And he wanted to, you know. But the people he was around, the church and the pastor. And he went to the funeral, and the pastor said something that said that God took that little girl that he might wake up, and God needed her in heaven. He needed another rose. Heaven, last time I read, was populated pretty well without needing to take somebody's daughter. And so that man got so bitter. And they came over to his house then to pray with him with that same doctrine. And he said this, if God took my daughter to hell with him, I don't want nothing to do with him. And the man died and went to hell bitter. What caused that doctrine? God did not take his daughter. God does not take your child. Okay, what anybody says, he doesn't do that. God is a good God. The Bible says in John 10:10, Satan goes about to steal, kill, and to destroy. Satan is the thief. Satan is the destroyer. Satan is the killer. But Jesus, it also says that Jesus came about doing good and healing all. And he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life. Life, Zoe, God kind of life, and give it more abundantly. You see, a lot of people die, kids die. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to the Lord. If you go down through the past, and we don't know why people die sometimes. We don't know. You can't just say their lack of faith or that. We don't know. But we don't blame it on God. He's the only hope we got and help we got. God is not the author of confusion. That brings confusion. He's a healer. Well, you know, why don't he heal everybody? Well, why don't he save everybody? Huh? Why don't he save everybody? I know more that don't get saved than do get saved. You can have 100 lost people in a room. Maybe 4 or 5 of them get saved. Or maybe more than that, but probably the whole 100 of them won't. Well, as it is, you never know what the Lord's going to do. You know, the Lord, if it's his will, he'll save them. Well, we don't have that doctrine. I don't hear that doctrine from anybody. They know for a fact it's his will. And they know, well, it's up to the person. Yes, it is. It's up to the person when it comes to healing. Jesus said, which is easier? To say thy sins be forgiven you or take up your bed and walk? Which is easier, to save or to heal? In other words, he was saying, it's the same power that saves that heals. The same identical power that raised him from the dead. It heals that saves. We need to think that way. You can't have faith if you doubt. You can't have faith if you're wandering. You can't have faith if you're confused. You have to go into the fight knowing that good and well that God has already made up his mind. I will heal. I'm your healer. I'm not your destroyer. I'm your healer. He's your creator. He's a good God. He heals. Amen? He's our healer. Now, the world is full of sickness and disease. I read where there was 10,000 different diseases. 10,000. I got this mic too close again. 10,000 different diseases, and there's only 500 treatments. Not cures, treatments. 500 out of 10,000. Well, if Jesus has left it all up to doctors and medicines, then we're falling way short. Isn't that right? I go to doctors, and I've had surgery. And I've taken medicine. But I know going into the surgery, I'm praying. Lord, they can just help. You just use them like you use a preacher. You use a preacher to get their spiritual self straightened out. You use a doctor to get their physical straightened out. You work together. Now, you're my healer. I'm not looking to these doctors to heal me. I'm looking to you to heal me. And I thank you, Lord, for using these doctors. I thank you, Lord, for using this medicine. I thank you, Lord, for using everything that is available. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, he that does not use every means available to heal himself is like one who commits suicide. Uses every means to heal himself. When I'm sick, I go after one thing, healing. I mean, I go after. Whatever it is, if it's taking an aspirin, taking medicine, going to the doctor, I'll fight sickness. I hate sickness. You do too. If we thought it was the will of God putting it on us, what do you go to the doctor for? Say, well, he's teaching me something. Well, he's a bad teacher or you're a terrible student. Because they've been doing that for 50 years and you still not learned anything. The only thing you can learn by being sick is how to get healed. And if you don't learn that, you'll die. Amen? He's a healer. We have to know that. We have to praise him for that. We have to walk in that. See, the world is full of evil. It's full of evil. It happened at the fall. We're living in a cursed world. It's cursed. Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of every world system. He owns these viruses. He owns these diseases. And man has to work with God. Doctors and science have to work with God. If they'll honor God and pray to God and ask God, he'll give them a cure. 10,000 diseases, but only 500 treatments, not cures. 4 diseases in the last 100 years have been healed or cured. Polio, measles, smallpox, and rubella. But they still pop back up. So they're really not cured. They're really not been done away with. But that's the only thing. The only disease that really has been cured since 1979 is smallpox. Now, if Jesus is leaving it all up to doctors and medicines, we're way behind. So there's constantly new viruses popping up, like we see this one today. What's the name of it? I forgot. Corona. Yeah. All you got to do is think of that beer. But I can't think of the name of the beer. What's the name of it again? I'm checking out to see who drinks beer again. Somebody's afraid to answer that last thing. Praise the Lord. But they say it's a epidemic proportion, but it's really not. News media is using that, pushing that with everything they can. It's more political, but nevertheless, it's out there, and we need to be careful. There's not that many dying from it, especially in America. What they say, 60,000 last year died with the flu? Yeah. My Lord, I didn't know that. 60,000. If this virus was like that, we would be panicking. There wouldn't be anybody in here this morning. Nobody would get out of their house. Everybody'd have a bag over their head instead of a mask. Praise the Lord. Well, I was going to read Revelation, but Revelations chapter 6. We will read, let's see where I'm at. Praise the Lord Jesus. No wonder I can't find this. Well, that's not it. We're talking about plagues. And six. No wonder I couldn't find it. Verse 7, he opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name was set on it, death and hell followed him, and the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, and with death, and by the beast of the earth. Now that word death there is epidemics or pestilence. He was given to destroy one-fourth of the earth with pestilence and death and hunger. That's 1.5 billion people will die in just this one seal being opened. Now, that is to come. That's coming. Just as sure you're sitting in this church this morning, that's coming. Now, what will the news and media say about that? They will be alarmed. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Verse 11. Luke 21, verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, great earthquakes. There are already earthquakes. And there will be famine, pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs in heaven. Now over in 26th verse, it says, men's hearts failing them. Men's hearts failing them from fear. Now, what's their heart failing from? Not pestilence. Not earthquakes. Fear. Men's their hearts having heart attacks, people dying from fear of what's coming on the earth, of what's coming. Now, that also will happen just as sure as you're sitting here this morning. So we see this happening. Now, Revelation 6 will not happen the way I read it and see it, and the church won't be here. The remnant church, those who are living close to God, tight with God. I think lukewarm Christians who've really never made up their mind whether they're going to be in or out, they'll have an opportunity during these things to decide. But as for me and my house and your house, I'm going to be out of here. Because Paul said to pray that you be worthy to escape. He called it the hope we have. If I was going through this thing, it wouldn't be much hope, you know. But anyway, we're going to miss that. But the things leading up to that, we're not going to miss. There's going to be, he said, when you see these things come to pass, look up. He said, this is the beginning of sorrows, or the beginning of birth pangs, or the beginning of these things happening. And so they will grow increasingly worse. Because it is the last day. Whether you realize or not, you're in the last day. We have a front row seat to the end time. Now, these things are happening. To me, each one of these is given as a sign. We should know that as a sign. We should see that as a sign. We should preach that as a sign. A sign is simply this. If I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia, I can read the signs that tell me which way to go to Atlanta, Georgia. I know how to go. You go south. You don't go north. From here, you go south. Then as I get toward Atlanta or approaching Atlanta, the closer I get to Atlanta, the signs tell me how close I am. 100 miles, 50 miles, 25 miles, 10 miles. You're almost to Atlanta. That's signs. And so the Lord put signs in the earth, put signs in the church. There's three things on this earth that we can point to as signs. One is Israel. One is the earth, these signs, earthquakes, pestilence, wars, things will increase, great earthquakes, more pestilence, these things happening, and wars increasing. And they'll increase more and more. There'll be a sign. Satan, he knows the Bible better than most Christians, better than most preachers, for that matter. And he's so good working with man, he controls and operates the world systems. Therefore, he controls the news media. So what he does then, and this is, I totally believe this is his tactic. Instead of us looking to these as signs of the end, he's a counterfeit. Satan counterfeits everything. So what the world says and everybody says, it's global warming. Well, you can call it what you will, but I say it's a sign. Yes, it is. And so if we think, and the world sees it, and they say, well, it's a sign from God, the end is coming, then I believe a lot of people would turn and repent just out of fear. Jude says that you can win some through love, some through fear. Either way, you're won. But instead, if they begin to fear and they begin to think, well, is this a sign from? No, it's global warming. Oh, it's just global warming. It's a counterfeit. It's a deception. It's a lie. Well, you can argue global warming all day, whether it's true or false. I'm not arguing that point. I'm arguing that it's a lie when it comes to the fact trying to tell you these are not signs. They're definitely signs. And they will increase according to the Bible, and we see it happening. But what will get people is the fear. fear of these things coming on the earth. You talk to people in California or different places, and they'll say the big one's coming, the earthquake. They know it's coming. Fear. I believe the world is afraid today. I believe society is afraid. I think there's fear everywhere. They're afraid of wars. They're afraid of the bomb. They're afraid of everything. Because they know inside of them, God put it. You know, when Noah built the ark and when destruction was coming, even the animals knew. Even the animals. God even used them. He spoke through the animals. Everything knew it was the end. But what do people do about it? They'd rather disregard it and say something else. But anyway, praise the Lord. I was looking other day. I was listening to the news, and they talked about the locust plague that was in East Africa. Locusts, and they petitioned the UN for $138 million to fight this locust plague. Said it was could hit Ethiopia, Uganda, Somalia, Kenya, and Yemen. This locust plague. And said it just they would devour everything. And you talk about a famine then. Said most of those nations and most of Africa would starve because of these locusts. This has been on the news. You don't have to get it out of the Bible. This is another sign. And there's more of them everywhere, but the news media doesn't report it, and you don't hear of it. We're living in the last days, my brother and sister. Look with me and over in Psalm 91. This is a good scripture to address what you and I are. God told the children of Israel, he said, now, if you live close to me, we preached on this last Sunday, why I'm so dogmatic about when I preach on politics, or if you want to call it that, why I'm so dogmatic about trying to find a platform that's close to the Bible and honor that or vote for that, because I don't want to dishonor God or us to reject God or turn from God. Our nation is held together by God. And we are down to a point just in politics where it's obvious. It's not like it used to be. The Democrat Party is not what it used to be. None of them are what they used to be. It is absolutely obvious today what's going on. So if we can get back to somebody just to honor God, he said, if my people, we have to honor God. We have to say, God, we still need you in America. We still need you. Don't turn your back on us. He told the children of Israel, if you'll honor me and bless me, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness. We're righteous. We exalt it. And we turn away from God, there is no protection for us. None. You can't vote God out and expect God to be in. He will honor you. You say, God, we don't want you anymore. And he won't be there. He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. When they knew God, they did not worship God as God. Neither did they serve him. But they worshiped the creation more than the creator. And God turned them over. They knew God, but they did not worship him as God. Neither were they thankful. They gave God up first. Then when they gave God up, God gave them up and gave them a reprobate mind of nothing they do makes any sense. I mean, you see that today. And not anything they do makes any sense. Just like in New York, they've got a policy with no bail. You know, on some of these things, they're just turning criminals out. Like that guy that robbed a bank four times and they turned him out. And he was laughing and mocking them. Like in California, they don't even consider anything under $930-something shoplifting. You can shoplift up to $900-something and they can't do a thing about it. That's just one of their stupid policies. They don't make any sense. And we think, well, you know, they're what is wrong with them? Deceived. I mean, we allow people to treat cops anyway and do anything. Then we wonder why, you know, authority. Don't respect authority. You know, we're killing ourselves. And God said, if you'll honor me now and keep me close, I won't allow any of these things to come on you. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. Then I will not permit any of these things to come upon you, for I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And he told Israel, and he's still God. Now, if you turn from me and go away from me, then I have nothing I can do. There's protection. But if you don't, there's nothing I can do. So God doesn't send this. He doesn't send this on your home. He doesn't send this on America. He doesn't send this on us. But it's out there. It's already there. God says, I'll just build a cocoon around you and put a wall around you where it can't get to you. But if you tear that wall down, then there's nothing to protect you. We have to. That's why I tell people, make sure now, when you go to the voting booth, you make sure what the platform says. You better make sure. Amen? So, but he promised for his people a protection. Amen? Malachi, talking about the last days, he said that in the last of the last days, I will make a difference between my people and the world. There'll be a difference that'll be seen so clearly that everybody will know that God's house is the place to be. I'm going to get to church and I'm going to get there fast. I'm going to get in the ark. Amen? Now, these things are coming. These are the beginning. They're signs. Amen? So my advice to you, quit backsliding. Stay in church. Stay close to church. Especially when you see the hour approaching. Wow. These things are written for our admonishment. Go to church, he said in Hebrews 10, especially when you see the hour approaching. Well, there ought to be signs to tell us that hour is approaching. Amen. So it must be hours of devastation. He who dwells, now that's not everybody. It's just he who dwells. Dwell means live. In the secret place of the Most High, glory to God, Most High is Elyon. Means El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, our provision, our healer, our peace, our Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, shall abide or live under His shadow, under His shadow. We've read this psalm many times, but I think we've read it so many times that we just don't penetrate. It needs to penetrate our thinking. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. I will say, now if you notice the Psalms here, it's talking about two things each time it speaks. It's talking about something big and something little. He's my refuge, my house, my smaller place, and He's my fortress, my big fort, my fortress, where it covers a bigger area. Amen? I was going to tell you this. Since 1981, 25 million people have died from the AIDS virus. Plagues. The Black Death killed 75 million people. Smallpox. Killed 300 million people. Spanish flu at the turn of the century, it's just some things here, killed 100 million people. That's a lot of people dying. Amen. So I think we need to find out where that secret place is and get in it. These young people, now, you know, 60s was the age of liberation and age of freedom, and you could do anything you wanted to with anybody you wanted to, as many as you wanted to. Well, you know what that brought us? The AIDS virus, all kind of other sexual transmitted diseases. And that produced 25 million, what they're just saying, died from that. So if you think today that you can just bounce around with anybody you want to anytime you want to, you know, you'd be safer in Vietnam when I was there even without a weapon. Running through the jungle screaming, "Here I am, here I am, here I am. Over here, over here." You'd be safer. But Satan blinds our eyes. Amen. I will say, now there's a whole, you know, doctrine on your mouth, how you use your mouth. What you say. What you say. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him do I put my trust. Surely. Surely. Surely means without fail, without missing it. Surely He shall deliver me. I put me in there. It says you, but I make it personal when I read this. I will say of the Lord, surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. You know what a fowler is? It's that feller that goes around with a falcon. And he'll go, he's trained it. And he'll see a walk through a field and a rabbit jump up. And he turns that falcon loose and he catches that rabbit. Said, He shall deliver me from the fowler. As Satan walking around seeking whom he may devour with those demons looking for you to turn that demon loose to snatch us. He shall deliver me from the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. The King James says, noisome. Noisome means offensive smell, disgusting, hurtful, harmful. But it's a disgusting smell, a pestilence. It's disgusting. Pestilence. Pestilence means where we get our word pest. Mainly a fatal epidemic disease, a contagious, infectious epidemic. That's what this is. They're talking about on the news. It's a pestilence. We get word pest from that. He shall deliver me from this thing. Now, God does everything for you by faith. Faith released by your words. You need to get Psalms 91 down in you everywhere you go. Surely He shall deliver me from this pestilence, this perilous, scary thing. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I take refuge. I never read this without thinking, growing up on a farm, old mama hen with her little chickens. Walked out in a barnyard many a day, see an old hen there clucking you. They got a certain sound. I've sat and watched them many a day. And every once in a while you see a little chicken stick its head out under that old hen's feather. And sometimes I'll move her and she'll have 12 or 14 little chickens under. So I don't know, where'd you get all them little babies under you? And they'll go out and they'll be running around. And I'd have, Kathy was at the barn one time, or girls when they were little. And I said, now sit here and watch that old chicken. And I said, now listen to the sound she makes. And she's always making that clucking sound. Cluck, cluck. But when something happened, now, as long as I was there, she was used to me. There's no, but something like my dog or something come up, she'd make a certain sound, Son, those little chickens, no matter where they are at, they go, under her they'd go. And they'd stay in there, and every once in a while you could see them stick their little head out. And they stayed under there as long as she told them to. And whatever it was, if it got too close, I mean, she's coming at you. And she's coming at you fast. And I tell Kathy, girl, don't you get too close. I could tell by the sound she was making. Yeah, that's far enough right there. Don't go any further. The next move is she's going to hit you. And that's exactly what that means. He shall cover me. He'll make that sound. And when he does, you better run back to church. Amen. He'll cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take my refuge. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. A buckler was a small shield. A shield was the bigger, cover the whole body. One was small for fighting, one covered the whole body. And I shall not be afraid of the terror, of fear, by night. When you are asleep, and you're not on guard, and you're not watching, you know, demons, Satan works at night. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by noonday. Now, terror of night when the enemy attacks. I know in Vietnam or they would hit us at night. Of a night. They liked to hit early in the morning before daylight. Everybody was sleeping. It seems like, and doctors tell you, you go into a deep sleep, usually from 3 to 5 or 6 o'clock. That's when you get to sleep. You just go into a deeper sleep. That's when they'd hit us, the whole army. But here it says, you're protected, and by daytime, by the arrow that flies, that's a sniper. The arrow is just one individual just waiting for you to... So he says you're protected from a large army of demons or one little imp that's running around trying to pick you off. That's a lot of protection, whatever you think about it. Hallelujah. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. When you're not watching, like you know, if you're going on a trip, if you're going on a cruise in a week, some people who's going on a cruise, when you're not paying any attention, minding your own business, having a good time, we're protected. Nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday when you're wide awake and watching for things. You're still protected. And I notice this. 1,000 can fall by my side and 10,000 at my right hand. It can happen all around us. It can be happening all around us. But it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Now, I'll see these things and hear about these things and see it happening to everybody, but I'm telling you, it will not come nigh me. We have to get our faith built up in these areas. Moses wrote this psalm. He's also the one that the Lord spoke to in Exodus 15, says, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. If you'll walk in my word and keep my word and stay close to me, why do you think the Lord warns us about the last days and tells us these things to stay close to God, stay close to the Word? It's signs. Now, only with my eyes. Now, in verse 9, it starts into a personal word from God speaking. It's like a prophecy. God begins to speak here. He said, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, because I've done this, no evil, God's personally saying this, no evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. Now he keeps talking about these plagues or pestilence. For you, I will give his angels. Now he will give his angels. Now Moses begins to talk. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In his hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread on lions and cobras. That's demonic forces that's causing these things. Young lions and serpents. You shall tread underfoot or trample underfoot. Now Moses says, because he has set his love upon, no more is God saying. God begins to speak again. God says, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. At that name, every knee shall bow. Do you know most people in the church don't know that name or the power in that name or been taught the power in the name of Jesus? In that name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you with long life. I will satisfy you and show you my delivering, healing power. Amen. That's a psalm of protection. Now, that's the word of God. He gave us that and promised us that. Well, stand up with it. With long life, I will satisfy you. I say this every time I read that, think about it. A lot of people live a long time, but they don't enjoy it. I know a lot of people living, but they don't enjoy living. He said, satisfy you. That's every day to be satisfied with life. I'm just satisfied. I'm satisfied. That used to be an old country song. With my Jesus, when he knocks, I'll let him in. Mama used to sing it all the time. Mama did. Praise the Lord. Martha Carson, you know who that is? You know who that is, Raymond? You ever heard her? Martha Carson? She sang that. Look at it. Martha Carson, I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll be satisfied. All right, I'm going to pray for us. Praise God. We can claim it. Read this every day. When you hear on the news media say, oh, y'all going to die, say Psalm 91. Belongs to the children of God. Father, I thank you that Psalms 91 belongs to us. We thank you, Lord. We appropriate these things by faith. We declare these things by faith. I can do that over the church, Lord, but each father and each husband can do that in the home. If they're single, they can do that in their home, the head of their house. They can declare this every day over their children, over their self, over their work, before they go to work, and when they're at work, we can declare this psalm. We say, we live in the secret place of the Most High, and we say with our mouth, he has delivered me, he will deliver me, and he's going to deliver me, and no noiseless pestilence shall come nigh my dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over me. And angels, we thank you by the word of God that you have been charged to protect us. You go before us to make a way straight. You go before us to clear the path. You guard around us to keep anything from coming nigh our dwelling, even when the enemy tries to come at night or try to pick us off during the day. We thank you, Lord, you have covered us underneath your feathers. And when we hear things and when we get afraid, we run under your feathers. We run under your word. And it protects us, for it is our shield. It is our buckler. It is our fortress. It is our high tower. And no matter what, 1,000 can fall at one side, 10,000 at the other. But Lord, it will not come nigh our dwelling, nigh our children, nigh our families. We thank you, Lord, for the protection of Almighty God against not only this pestilence, but every pestilence that's known to man. You are our healer. We declare that, we proclaim that, and we shout that. Thank you, Father, for making this word good in our life. In Jesus' name, and we can go about every day, Lord, not in fear. We are not, our hearts are not failing us for fear. We'll tell you that now. We resist fear. We're not going to have fear for what's coming on the earth. These things are coming, but Lord, we'll watch them and see them coming and be safe. And we'll watch the reward of the wicked. And boy, Lord, we thank you for doing it for us. And we're glad we're in the ark. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare his name. We plead his blood. And we're safe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Glad I know what we know, don't you?
Thank you, Lord. He'll even provide toilet paper for you. You heard that? This whole manic, everybody's running out of toilet paper. What is that about? I don't even understand that. Running out of toilet paper. Everybody's panicking because they're running out of toilet paper. There was not one thing of toilet paper at Sam's Club yesterday, just FYI. Y'all are on your own. Y'all better be finding some woods. I'm skilled. I ain't worried at all. I've camped out in the woods before. I'm not afraid. Couple of announcements. Reverend Ingolf Schmidt will be here Friday, March 13th at 7 and Sunday, March 15th at 11. He's a wonderful, wonderful minister. I highly suggest you come and hear him. Also, Dr. Mary Baxter will be here Friday and Saturday, April 17th through the 18th at 7. So that's Friday and Saturday both. And then Sunday, April 19th at 11. So be here to hear her. And then Elaine Homer. Hallelujah. I get excited just when I say her name. Woo! She's going to have her annual Call to Holiness Conference April 30th through May 2nd. It's going to be in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And if you would like to be included in the glory block of rooms, I just kind of thought of a prison that we're going to be. I'm in the glory block. That's going to be a hallelujah jail right there. Please see Julie Singleton, and she'll get you set up in your cell block. In the big glory house. Hallelujah. It's much better than the real jail, isn't it? I'd rather be in Jesus' jail any day. And then Elaine's going to come here Friday, May 22nd at 7 and Sunday, May 24th at 11. So we're going to get some good Elaine time. Amen. And give some money to the building fund. Don't forget about Sunday school at 10 o'clock. We have it here every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock out in the back building. They even make breakfast for you, so there's no excuse that you can't get there. And it's for adults and children. And also, don't forget, we have prayer every Tuesday night. It starts at 6 o'clock. And I'll tell you what, we've been having some really awesome prayer. And I think you're missing out if you're not coming, but that's just my opinion. So let's say our confession. We'll do Psalms 91. How appropriate. Boy, I am on it today. I tell you what. I don't even have it. Hold on. Okay, yes, here we go. Everybody ready? Here we go. We live by the words of our mouth, and we confess Psalms 91 right now in Jesus' name. I say that no evil shall befall me, and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I am going to live in great peace, great joy, and great prosperity. The grace of God is upon me, therefore I have the ability of God in life to be an overcomer. Everything I put my hand to will be successful. I have favor with God and man. I go from strength to strength. I will rule in this life, live in joy, and walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. We believe every word of that, and we trust our Heavenly Father. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance on you and give you great peace. Hallelujah. And great peace, you are dismissed.